Jerry Bader Show, 10:36. I guess I can tie this into finishing up my conversation on the war on poverty. A handful of Republicans voted with Democrats in the Senate yesterday to advance a bill that would extend unemployment rates. Ron Johnson voted no. Tammy Baldwin voted yes. And the Republican argument is, well, we shouldn't do this without offsetting that spending somewhere else. Every time this comes up, I voice the same frustration. What Republicans should be doing is being intellectually honest and say, extending unemployment benefits extends unemployment. This is indisputable. But they don't want to do that because they don't want to be called cold-hearted Republicans. So what they try to do is couch that and say, well, we can't afford it, which is true. I'm not disputing that. But what I'm saying is let's put the real reason out there. There is ample evidence that extending unemployment benefits is a disincentive to finding a job. By the way, Jason is saying, odd how we haven't gotten any calls about how unconservative Ron Johnson is with his latest lawsuit and with voting no on this latest vote. Where are those clowns who called him unconservative? By the way, I don't normally do this. And again, it's probably behind a paywall. Jim Sensenbrenner, who called Ron Johnson's lawsuit a political stunt, I believe it was yesterday, talk show host Charlie Sykes interviewed him. Holy crap. I mean, Sensenbrenner, he had the shields up, and he just didn't have a good answer for anything. You can find that at Right Wisconsin, but I believe it is behind their paywall, but you can maybe check it out. It's incredible. This is incredible. Sensenbrenner, for whatever reason, decided, here's what I think happened. Sensenbrenner tried to talk Johnson out of doing that, and he couldn't, and then he got peed off. And then just came out flailing. Yeah, he seems to be, Ron appears to be conservative enough for people. Now, by the way, I am, however, going to defend Jim Sensenbrenner, from those who would say he's a rhino. He's not. He's just wrong on this. He's wrong on this. That doesn't make him a rhino. He's about as conservative as you can get, but he's wrong on that. All right. Without further ado, because I've teased this about a half a dozen times, earlier this week, oh, you know what I'm not going to get to today? Just settle down, and then you can write your little podcast notes over there in just a second. I'm not going to get to we failed the millennials. That the millennials living in our basements, that's our fault. It's not their fault. It's our fault. By the way, my kids don't live in my basement yet. Yet. I guess that means I have to fix it up, huh? A little bit. We'll get... Jason, they heard that laugh on the air. You did that so loud. That was actually very funny. We will get to that tomorrow. Now, but I have to remember that because I teased it and we're not going to get to it. Well, I do have a very nice family room. Yeah, they could stay there with the DirecTV and the new widescreen television and all of that. Or they could not. Just throwing it out there. Throwing out was maybe inappropriate. No. All right. In October, and I miss this when it happened, Guns and Ammo ran a column by gun writer Dick Metcalf. Dick Metcalf, longtime writer for Guns and Ammo, has a TV show. He's a gun guy. He wrote a piece that, well, let me just read a little bit. The Second Amendment to the Constitution reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Note carefully, the last four words say, shall not be infringed. They do not say, shall not be regulated. Well-regulated is, in fact, the initial criterion of the amendment itself. I bring this up because way too many gun owners still seem to believe that any regulation of the right to keep and bear arms is an infringement. The fact is, all constitutional rights are regulated, always have been, and need to be. freedom of speech is regulated. Then he pulls out the tired old shouting fire in a movie theater. Freedom of religion is regulated. A church cannot practice human sacrifice. Freedom of assembly is regulated. People who don't like you can't gather an anti-you demonstration on your front lawn without your permission. And it is illegal for convicted felons or the clinically insane to keep and bear arms. But many argue that any regulation at all is by definition an infringement. If that were true, then the authors of the Second Amendment themselves would not have specified well-regulated. That's what he thinks that means. And then he goes on to put forth a lot of tired arguments, compares it to getting a driver's license, which is insane. Guns and ammo fired him. They fired him, and they said, look, we're losing sponsors. They said they're not going to come back unless you're gone. And he lost his TV show. Basically, he is an ex-person. He vanished in their eyes. He vanished after being banished back last fall until over the weekend when the New York Times ran a piece. The byline of Dick Metcalf, one of the country's preeminent gun journalists, has gone missing. It has been removed from Guns and Ammo magazine, where his widely read column once ran on the back page. He no longer stars on a popular TV show about firearms. Gun companies have stopped flying him around the world and sending him the latest weapons to review. In late October, Mr. Metcalf wrote a column that the magazine titled, Let's Talk Limits, which debated gun laws. The backlash was swift and fierce. Readers threatened to cancel their subscriptions. Death threats poured in by email. His TV program was pulled off the air. Just days after the column appeared, Mr. Metcalf said his editor called to tell him that two major gun makers had said in no uncertain terms they could no longer do business with Intermedia Outdoors, the company that publishes GNA, and co-produces his TV show. If he continued to work there, they would be gone. So he was gone. He was let go immediately. I have been vanished, disappeared. He's not unsure of his next move, but fears he's become a pariah in the gun industry, to which, he said, he has devoted nearly his entire adult life. His experience sheds light on the close-knit world of gun journalism, where there is little room for nuance in the debate over gun laws. Moderate voices that might broaden the discussion from within are silenced. And you must promote an absolutist view, and the New York Times is just stunned that he was let go over this. Now, I want to read a letter from a listener, then I want to comment on this. First, I agree with firing this man. It is not a First Amendment issue since a company has the right. Well, of course they have the right. That's never what we're debating. Did they do the right thing? That's the question. Also, two gun companies threatened to take their advertising dollars elsewhere. We don't need anti-gun articles in pro-gun magazines. Let him go work for the Huffington Post. Okay, but somebody, some editor put it in there. He didn't do that. He wrote it. He wrote it, and Guns and Ammo chose to publish it. Should he really be fired under those circumstances? Or should the editor be fired? Should the person who chose to put that in Guns and Ammo, he can write whatever he wants. They don't have to publish it. Now, they might decide that he has a mindset that isn't consistent with their philosophies. It appears he doesn't. His arguments are lame-o. But let me give you an example. Okay, I write freelance, and I get paid to do it, for a conservative website. I just wrote something about the abortion issue with which a lot of conservatives disagree. I agree that the two abortion issues on the table should not be brought up for votes this session because I don't think they accomplish anything and they'll just do political damage. I desperately want a 20-week ban, that is, abortions beyond 20 weeks of pregnancy. I desperately want that passed. But a lot of conservatives disagree with me on that. Okay, if the website publishes it and then they get a lot of backlash, should they fire me? Or should they fire the person that chose to run it? I don't have any control over that. What's your thoughts on this? 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 1046.
Jerry Bader Show.